The next accelerator, if you're aware of it, or constraint, if you're not, this is that construction zone I was talking about, is called exposure. Exposure refers to anything and everything that you've ever been exposed to in your life. It began the moment you were born. Actually, now we know it begins before birth. That unborn children are influenced by the external environment of the mother. The noises, the emotional content of what's going on. So it really begins then, and it continues at the hospital with doctors and nurses, and then friends, parents of friends, and then teachers, coaches, books, TV, magazines, newspapers, and so on. Everything and anything that you've ever been exposed to has contributed to your character and your personality today, and continues to do so up to this minute. And when we think of exposure, in fact, since I've been in Dallas, I've had a couple of conversations about it. There's virtually nothing that's any more important after you get clear on where you're going than exposure. It's like the foundation. And if you're not in control, if you don't take strategic control of your exposures, it's like building on the sand. You can start going up a little bit, but ultimately it's going to crumble. So you've got to take strategic control of what you expose yourself to on a consistent basis. Now, what does strategic mean? What does strategy mean? Plan. All right. What do you have to know, though, before you can determine what exposures you should involve yourself in? Yeah. You don't know who you need to get around, who you need to get away from, what things you need to expose yourself or not expose yourself to until you're clear on that end result. So exposures can be broken down into three categories: association, accountability, and environment. The law of association says this. It says you will inevitably take on the habits, attitudes, characteristics, mannerisms, even the body language of the people that you surround yourself with most often. We become like the people that we hang out with the most. We become like the people we hang out with the most. If you do everything else that we talk about tonight, if you memorize success is not an accident, but you neglect to get away from people in your life who are taking you in the other direction, they, not my book, will have more influence on where you go in your life. The law of association says we become like the people that we surround ourselves with most often. So who are the people in your life who encourage you to set big goals? Who are the people that encourage you to eat healthily? Who are the people that encourage you to go to bed early and to wake up early? Who are the people that encourage you to set meaningful goals in the non-business side of life? Who are the people that hold you accountable? Jim Rohn, great speaker, says one of the worst mistakes you can make is to spend major league time with minor league people. What should be your litmus test for who you spend your time with? Yeah, that's one of it. What are their goals? Positive exposures. You want to make sure you're around people who stretch you, who push you to the next level, who challenge you, who help you get out of your comfort zone. When you think of people, you want to think of character. And the golden rule with regard to association is only invest time with people of equal or greater character. The reason for this is the pig story, which is why should you never ever wrestle with a pig? Number one, you'll get dirty. Number two, the pig likes it. No matter how hard you try, low character brings down high character. There's only one exception to that, and that's when you've got a willing and ready student who's coachable, who says, I want to learn, I want to change. Otherwise, it's a tough choice, but you have to do it. You have to do it. You have to get around people who are going places, and they'll help you get there as well. Another way to say this that really impacts some people is you need to invest time with people and only people who you'd like your children to grow up and be like. Because you can't fool your kids. Your kids are going to become like you, ultimately. And if you're hanging out with this group and you're telling kids to act like this, what are they going to do? Ultimately, they're going to model you. You want to be rubbed off on people, by people, that you want your children to grow up and be like. So you've got to get very strategic, very purposeful with your exposures. You know, right now I'd say there are some people in your life that you need to get away from. Typically there's not very many, but it sometimes helps to think of the people that you need to disassociate from. Who are the people who are just not doing you any good at all? Who are the people who squish your dreams just a little bit, who mock what you're trying to accomplish, who instantly, almost like it's a chip in their brain, tell you all the reasons why you can't reach your goal rather than the two or three that you need to reach the goal. And they're just programmed to do that. Who are those people? Disassociation. It's an unpleasant topic because we have this idea you might have already flashed in your mind. Okay, when I leave here, I've got to pick up the phone. I'm calling such and such, and I'm saying, I'm calling to inform you that you've been disassociated. The good news is you don't have to worry about that. You don't have to worry about that at all. When you start to make changes on the inside, the other people in your life that are incompatible with the new you will fall away. They won't be attracted to you. So you don't even need to make those phone calls. But there are some. There are some, you know, the type of people that brighten a room when they walk out of it. Those are the types of people you may want to pick up the phone and go ahead and call. But typically, I'd say on average, people have 1 to 3 people like that in their life. Unfortunately, they're close friends or family. Unfortunately, they're close friends or family. Number two is limited association. Limited association. These are the people that you need to dilute in your life. Okay, I go to lunch once a week with her. I'm going to push it back because she is a valuable person in my life, but I've got to push it back to once a month because when I leave those conversations, I am just down, and it takes me 2 days to recover. The other way that you can dilute somebody's negative presence or limited presence, it doesn't have to be cynical and overtly negative. It's just subtle negativity is the worst. Another way you can dilute it is to bring people along. Okay, you mind if such and 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 such come with us for lunch? So you bring additional people with you that dilutes the negative energy of the one person there who's not a good influence, but maybe they're a close friend, a family member, or something like that, and you can't completely cut them out of your life. The Oreo cookie technique works here as well. Now, it's not giving them the Oreo cookies and saying, go away. It's thinking of the Oreo cookie and thinking of, okay, I'm going to be in a negative situation. I'm going to be around some people who sometimes bring me down or they spread negative thinking or limited thinking to me. Think of that as the cream on the inside. Well, before you go into a negative situation or a limited situation, you do something extraordinarily positive on the outside. That's the first part of the cookie. You know these in-laws are coming over, this friend's coming over. It's always a stressful situation. Do something extremely positive before they come. Get an extra long workout in. Read something positive. Read the Bible. Pray extra long. Do something positive before they come in. Then you're exposed to them. It's a little bit negative. But you know what? It's not going to be as negative because you're consciously aware of it. Then what do you do when you leave the negative situation? You do something ultra-positive on the other side, and that's the top part of the Oreo cookie. And you make that a discipline in your life that you do just on a regular basis. The most important type of association is intentional association. Given the person that you want to become and the goals you want to achieve, who are the people that you need to get around more often? In other words, do you have a list of people that you need to invest more time with? In the 1% Club, we have two lists that all members are constantly aware of every single quarter. And we call them the majors and minors list. The majors list are the top 20 people that are going to influence my success in the upcoming 9 days in all areas of life. The minors are the people that are going to influence my success in the longer term, sometime down the road. But I've got to start planting seeds with them. I've got to start nurturing them. Majors and minors. You need to be strategic about who you invest your time with. And notice when we talk about disassociation, those are people that we were spending time with. Limited association, those are people we were spending time with. Intentional association, people we are investing time with. Next is accountability. The next point, so we've got exposure, subheading under exposure, is association. Next one is accountability. Accountability literally means to stand up and be counted. Stand up and be counted. It's to be answerable to somebody. It's the willingness to answer the tough questions from people who care about you the most. Accountability is the antidote to human nature. Without accountability, it's impossible to unlock your full potential. Because of our human nature, we're all predisposed to keep acting in a manner that keeps us right where we are. There are four qualities of great accountability. Number one, you've got to be vulnerable. You've got to be willing to be wounded. You've got to open yourself up to where you give somebody else permission to say, you're not doing it right here. You're not living up to your potential. You're being a hypocrite here. If you keep going down this path, you're going to have some negative consequences. You need somebody like that. Vulnerability, availability. You've got to have an accountability partner who's available. If you're an accountability partner, you've got to be available. You've got to be there for the person. You've got to meet on a regular basis. Weekly is best. Coachability. You've got to be open-minded. You've got to be willing to do things differently. You've got to be willing to acknowledge that there is a slight chance that you don't know everything. And that maybe somebody else does. Maybe they have something to offer to you and you're open to it. And then most of all, integrity. Meaning you've got to be honest with yourself and others all the time, no matter what. Integrity. Being honest with yourself and others all the time, no matter what. It's easier to be honest with others all the time. It's much harder to be honest with yourself. Those four pieces are required. They're not optional for strong accountability relationships. You want to surround yourself with mentors, with coaches, with accountability partners, with role models, with people that you can look up and aspire to be like, and whose presence, most importantly, can rub off on you in a very positive way. Next is environment. Your physical surroundings reinforce who you are. Where you are reinforces who you are. Where you are reinforces who you are. More specifically, your environment includes what you read, watch, and listen to. The inputs, the things that are going in. It's impossible to program your mind with positive information and to get negative results. It's also impossible to program your mind with erroneous information and get good results. Garbage in, garbage out. If you put good in, you'll get good out. If the good that you're getting right now is not enough for you, you need to put more good in. I mean, it's just a law. That's how it works. What are you reading? What is your schedule of reading? What are you reading after you read Success is Not an Accident? I'm reading it again. All right, you got to have an answer for that. Read it again, read it again. What's the next book on the list? How many biographies are you reading? How many autobiographies are you reading? Have you written your own autobiography? What is it that you're filling your mind with visually? What are you watching? How much TV are you watching? How much are your kids watching? What are the ground rules for watching TV? What are you listening to in the car? What are you not listening to in the car? Everything that goes in that gets sucked in through any of your five senses makes an impression on your personality. One of the quickest ways that you can change your personality, your character, your ability to be disciplined, is to feed yourself, just constantly soak yourself in what we call positive mental nutrition. Positive mental nutrition. Everybody should have a library where they've got books and tapes, and now they've got CDs, with just great information on it, great ideas on every subject imaginable, from relationship to faith to fitness to goal setting to planning to strategic thinking. And your impressions around you, what does your home environment tell your children? What does your work environment tell yourself? What are the physical things that are around you that you look at and see and soak in? Think about the last elevator you were in and what was the conversation? Was there any conversation? What was the last billboard that you saw? What are the things that you take in and you don't even notice? We have 20 to 60,000 thoughts a day coming in our mind. How many of them did you trigger yourself? How many were triggered by something in our environment? Make your environment work for you. A great, what I think is a really neat idea that we use in the 1% Club is a victory wall concept. In our training room, we have one whole wall that allows us to put push pins in, the whole wall, I mean from floor to ceiling, and it wraps all around. And every 90 days when members come in for their workshop, they put up a victory from the last 90 days. And so we've got this collage of pictures representing all areas of life that's up on this wall. When people come in, they are floored. They're just inspired by it. I'm inspired by it. The other members are inspired by it. We expanded the concept, said, wouldn't a victory wall be great in your home? Just take a big bulletin board, do it for yourself, especially do it for your children. If they don't keep it for themselves, you keep it for them. But get a bulletin board and put it up in a laundry room, in a garage, in a basement, or put it up somewhere more prominent if you want. But start collecting images or symbols of achievement so there can become a culture of high performance in the household. Not a culture of she's lucky, he's lucky, boy, I wish I were them. Develop a culture where there is a ceremony of success even for the small things. Victory logs, that's another great idea. Begin keeping a victory log for your kids or for yourself. You don't have to worry about the quality. It's small things. I mean, imagine looking at a page that had three items on it and they were all huge. Or looking at a 60 pages of small accomplishments. I mean, consistency over and over and over again. Create an environment, create a room in your house that is more positive than any other room that you can go to and just immerse yourself in it. Those images are incredibly important. Here's an assignment for you to take with you. Make a list of all the negative or neutral exposures in your life. And why do you think I say negative or neutral? It's a trick question. Yeah, there's nothing neutral. There is no neutrality. Everything counts. There, you cannot call time out on Friday evening and say what I'm about to do doesn't count. Or Sunday morning, you can't call a timeout and go, this doesn't count. Everything counts. Nothing is neutral. Then make a list of all your positive exposures. Don't do this exercise right now unless you're sure none of those people are around you.